Hey, you guys. Holy crap.
Yeah, we went out last night.
I'm so tired.
Also went to see the loan officer, and everything looked good. I'll own the place in about 3 months.
Well, you know, not outright. We'll just...
Not outright.
We'll be paying for it.
They're going to give me the money. I was kind of surprised. I was kind of like, I don't think they're going to give it to me.
I don't think they're going to give it to me.
That's a lot of money. But I did have some shit I had to take care of though first, man. I owed somebody, I didn't even know it, I owed somebody $1,000. They were trying to collect on me, about $1,000. And it's from 2016, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And the only thing, I haven't called them to see who it is, but the only thing I'm thinking was the time Beijing put me in the hospital.
Yeah,
the VA paid all that.
Which is good, because you were in there for like 4 days.
Yeah. But something that they charged me for something that the VA didn't pay for. So I got to pay for
it. Yeah, like I said, some doctor probably cruised by and is like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Cha-ching, that'll be $1,000,
please. Is you feeling okay? Okay, yeah, thank you. And then cha-ching, and then they were psychological counseling. And I was like, what? You know, probably something
psychological
like that.
Counseling.
The VA was like, fuck, we're not paying that. But,
that's some bullshit right there.
Yeah, because yeah, they do that shit to you.
Yeah, I know.
And, but it looks like they'll settle it out anyway. Like probably throw in $500 and that'll go away.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much
about it.
All this time.
Yeah.
They clearly don't want it that bad because they haven't been bothering you about
it. And I got to get my credit card totally paid off 3 months in a row, and my credit score will go up a little bit into like the very good level.
Yeah.
And that will, then it'll go through. So I'm just going to do it. Just got to bite the bullet, you know.
Well, like I said, you know, this is a good area to buy in, I think.
I
think the value will go up. And if we don't buy it soon, then it's going to be where it's going to be too much for us to afford. So
yeah, so we have to do it now.
Yeah.
There is some leeway there. They could have given me a little bit more.
Okay.
So if it goes up a little bit over the next 3 months, I don't think it'll go up over the next 90 days.
Because
a neutral party has to come in and appraise it and all that. I don't think it'll go up appreciably. It might go down because there are some problems in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of this stuff, like some of these doors are pretty damn beat up, and there's some molding that's fucking broken, and having problems with that dishwasher and the damn garbage disposal. We'll see. I don't know. Those are mostly consumables, maybe. I don't know if that has anything to do with the appraisal.
I don't think so. Generally,
it might just be structure.
I think they just check like kind of the structure. And I mean, you know, obviously, if it's like fucking. David June said, killer picks from last night, Jen. Thank you. That I was like, so can I just say I was very impressed with myself?
Yeah,
well,
good. Everybody
because it. Yeah, and it's like, and I gave myself like 5 hours like before we left, because I was like, I know that I'm gonna fuck it up because I've never done it before, and I know I'm gonna fuck it up and I'm just gonna get pissed off and I'm gonna have to wipe it all off and start over, but I did not.
Yeah,
I did it good the first time.
Jen's costume was she went as a Mexican. she went as a Mexican girl dressed for fucking Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
And she pulled it off.
It's just the sugar skull thing.
Pulled it off. Looked good.
Maddie P says, did you move far from your old place? About
15 miles.
15 miles. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's about 15 miles.
Yeah, and I finding more out about this area, you know, the downtown Eustace?
Yeah.
In the next 2 years, it's going to be totally rebuilt. It's going to be...
I kind of figured, because you can see, even in this neighborhood, they're still building new houses.
Yeah, across the street,
like, around here,
they're building a huge
on
complex.
The river.
It's going to be kind of like the one we just moved from, which is nice houses, but they're a little close together. They're going to pack a bunch of them in over there. This place is more spread out.
Yeah, I like that there's, like, the yards are really, really big.
Big yards. And I'm going to have to kill my contract with the lawn guy, which he was from the 173rd Airborne. I don't really want to do it, but it doesn't make sense to have him come in here and mow this for $150 a month when I can buy a ride-on lawn mower and do it myself. Because I think he said he didn't do bushes. So if I got to do those bushes, I might as well
if you're going to do the hedges, you might as well cut the grass too.
Yeah, that lawn mower will pay for itself in 8 months anyway.
That's true.
So, just going to do
that. I mean, it is a big-ass yard, but...
Make sure that bitch has headlights on it so I can drive it at night.
He's going to be up there drinking on a riding lawnmower.
At night and shit, listening to podcasts and shit. But wintertime, you know, you really only have to do it maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah, it's really only summer you have to worry about mowing it every weekend.
Right. You got to mow it every maybe week and a half.
Yeah.
Depends on how much rain you got.
Ooh.
And I got a hedge trimmer. I fucking hate doing hedges and shit. making them little round things. I'm not a fucking artist when it comes. I'm not a sculptor.
Yeah, Edward Scissorhands.
I'm not Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
You're Edward Big Meaty Hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we...
Oh, we got to talk about IHOP.
Okay, so, yeah, before... We will talk about the movie, I promise. But, so, actually, we were going to go see Halloween Kills this morning. But then when I looked up, to get tickets, the earliest show was, at 3:30. I'm like, okay.
Show, yeah.
I thought, yeah, because I thought, oh, we can go see it at, 11 or something and then, come back and review it. But they were like, nope, you're not doing that. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll go see it Thursday or something. But, yeah, so... So we went out last night and we stayed till almost closing, which we don't usually. And then we're like, man, we're gonna stop at IHOP and get some omelets or something like that, on the way home, because it's on our way back. And so we stopped and I was like, it looks kind of dark in there. I was like, maybe it's not open 24 hours, because I thought it was open 24 hours. And then so Tom goes up to the door and he walks in.
They're playing music and everything. It's like rock music. The Muzak was on.
Yeah,
I walk in and it's fucking dark as fuck, and the music's going. I went, "Hello, hello."
There's nobody
IHOP
in there.
Was closed,
and their door was open.
And the door was wide open. I could have gone in there and I said, "Jenny, man, I'm gonna make something to eat. I'm gonna go right back into the fucking
go back in the kitchen.
Go back in the kitchen and start making something to eat, man. Because that's not breaking and entering; it's just entering." Since well, they're not here, I was gonna leave the money on the table. I'm gonna go ahead and fucking start cooking.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
Yeah, they left that bitch wide open, and it was 3:00 in the morning, and it closed at 11.
Yeah.
And it probably had 2 hours to close down. Well, it depends on a light night, maybe less than an hour. So they hadn't been in there for a long time.
Apparently, they are open 24 hours, but only on Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Yes, we didn't know that.
Only on the weekends.
Yeah.
And, so we just assumed that they were going to be open. And so it was just funny that he walked in. I was like, oh, it is open. And then I walk in. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's dark as hell.
It's like dark in there. And he's like, hello?
Music's going.
I was like, it was so weird.
So we go to McDonald's and order McDonald's. Afterwards, it's up the street. And I told them. And they were like, it's open? And I said, yeah, it's open. Did you call the police? And I was like, no. We've been drinking. We can't call the cops.
Yeah.
He says, maybe you should call them. He goes, it's open. They left it open. I said, yeah, the music's going and you can walk right in.
Just all the lights are on.
You can walk right back in the kitchen and everything. They forgot to lock the door.
Lock the door, that's all.
Forgot to lock the door.
Well, and I didn't want to get anybody in trouble. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to happen anyway, because then the next shift comes in the morning.
And be like, what the fuck?
Why is the door open? Why is the music still going?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Unless there was somebody in there and they were shutting down still and they hadn't left, but there weren't any cars that I remembered.
Yeah, there were no cars in the lot. And nobody answered you when you said hello, because they should have said, hey, we're closed or something. Maddie P. asked, is Pookie like at the house, I'm presuming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's super into it.
Yeah.
It took her a while to get used to the stairs because she was just kind of like, what the fuck is this all about?
She's laying on her back right now.
She is? Oh, she's
laying on her back, her feet up in the air.
She has this little... I call them her drumsticks.
Yeah, they got
little chicken feet. Because they're always hanging like that. Oh my God, it's so fucking funny. And then if you look at her while she's doing that, she's like, what? There's nothing weird about this at all. She just lays there all splayed like a weirdo.
Yeah.
You're so weird, Pookie, but in a good way. Yeah, so we didn't get to see Halloween Kills. However, we did watch on Shudder VHS 94, because I know a couple of you guys had asked me about it. Now, the VHS series of films, this is the fourth one, and they're all, they're not sequels or anything like that, obviously, because they're all just, anthologies. Oh my God, sorry. It's all right. I'm so fucking tired. And I think I saw the first one, and I remember liking that. I might have seen the second one too, but then wasn't the third one VHS Viral? And I feel like a lot of people didn't like that one. I'm pretty sure I didn't see that one, but I know I saw the first one. I maybe saw the second one. This one, actually, I think I like this one better than the first one. I liked the whole, because the other ones, right, they didn't really, I mean, it was just more like a straight ahead anthology in the sense that I don't remember the first one having a wraparound story, or that they were all kind of related, or wasn't it somebody that just found, wasn't the first one, didn't they just find a bunch of VHS tapes in someone's basement or something? Am I remembering that right? I'm kind of asking the chat more than anything.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a wraparound, I guess. This one has sort of a wraparound, and it goes back and forth. So the wraparound story, which I think was the weakest thing, but it doesn't really matter because that wasn't the main thrust of it, I guess, was that it was this underground lair, And it was like, I guess it was like some kind of weird like suicide cult or something like that. And it turned out to be like these two women, and they were making all these videos. So while there was like a drug raid, like there are all these like cops and stuff, or SWAT team or whatever, while they're in there trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, thinking that they're going there to make like a big drug bust, but then they find like the suicide cult. So then while it's going through there, like they show like all the videos, like on the various TVs and stuff in this cult compound or whatever. So that's the wraparound. And like I said, I thought that was the weakest one, but honestly, like the rest of them, I thought were pretty fucking good. Like the rest of the,
yeah, it was entertaining.
I was entertained. The first one is called, like the first segment after that is called, what was the first one called? The Storm Drain. That was one about Ratman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now this movie, it has its own gestalt. In something like an anthology like Creepshow, it's very cinematic. It's very filmish. You know what I'm talking about? Not this. On purpose. It's the opposite. It looks real cheap and VHS.
Yeah, well, the whole series is like that. That's just kind of... Basically, they just give the directors... They're like, okay, just make a segment, but it's supposed to look like an old videotape.
Yeah, and it kind of does. You know, they kind of age it, so it's like the tracking's off.
Well, some of them... Actually, a couple of the segments, I can't remember which ones, but they did actually film it on... using equipment from 1994, and then they took the videotape that they put it on and taped made dupes of it a bunch of times. So it is actually like period accurate.
Okay,
but because they wanted it to look
but it's
exactly
uneven.
Like
other segments don't look like that.
Yeah, like I said, not everybody went the distance like for verisimilitude.
And,
but
although I'll tell you, it does have a lot of strengths in general. You know, not all stories are equal in this. The writing and storytelling is pretty good. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay. The military equipment, the weapons, and the uniforms that they're wearing, and there's a couple different groups of guys that they show over the span of the whole movie, is period accurate. So I was actually kind of impressed. Even the foreign one was period accurate for 94, 95, 96, around the time.
Yeah.
They're wearing the right gear, the helmets, the LBVs. It was cutting edge back in, say, 94, 95, 96. Now it's retro as fuck, but they got it right. And the same thing with the weapons. They got the weapons right.
It really did seem like they were committed to making this actually look like videotapes that were in 1994.
Yep.
I mean, they did a good job. I was around in 1994.
Yeah, and also it does a bunch of horror movie / action movie tropes and styles from the 90s. So it's like some of the, and we're not talking about realism. We're talking about Hollywood gags from the 90s and action flicks. They do it in this, too.
Yeah.
And some of the gags came from 90s video games.
Yeah.
So each little team took the 90s seriously. They 90s the fuck out of each story.
They really did.
They knew what they were doing.
So I kind of like... So even though I think when I said earlier that it's like that the first one didn't have a wraparound, the first one had a wraparound, but the first one... I don't remember it having like a theme kind of like, but this one is actually like the theme. All of them are set in 1994 and they're all supposed to look like videotapes from 1994 or like, you know, something you would find like an underground type videotape in 1994. So they really like committed
in an abandoned
to that
mall.
Premise. Yeah, yeah. Of like making, but yeah. So the first one's called Storm Drain. This one, it's good, but I think this was probably my least favorite.
It was the weakest one.
You know, other than the wraparound, which, like I said, there wasn't a lot to the wraparound, so, you know, I'm not going to get too upset about that. But, you know, this one was still funny because it was kind of like a reporter, and they had heard, I guess it was like an urban legend going around about this dude named Ratman that, like, lived down in the sewers. And so she, like, I guess they wanted her to go down there and figure out what the hell was going on. And she goes down there, and there's, like, a homeless guy, and she's trying to, like, help him, and things don't go the way that you might think. So that one was pretty good. And I appreciated, and I didn't even realize when I was watching it, that... This was actually another segment, but it was just like super short. It was the Veggie Masher.
Yeah.
The
commercials.
The commercial.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like those 90s commercials.
That was ridiculous fucking shit for your kitchen.
You know what?
The
maybe
Pedophore, the maker, and weird shit you would never use.
Well, it's fun, and I remember those because I used to record, Mystery Science Theater off Comedy Central back in the 90s. And I still had those videotapes for a really long time. And it still had all the commercials on there. So it's like, it really, really made me laugh, like how well they got that across. And that veggie, but the segment's only like a minute long.
Yeah.
But it's like the funniest thing about it to me, like other than watching the machine just like going like that, and like fucking, but he's just kind of like, I can't remember what like all the vegetables he said, but he's like, you know, mushrooms, peppers, and then he holds up a thing, he's like, these.
What was great about that, you know?
That made me laugh.
I did some time in direct sales in the 90s and got a really good fucking old school training. And some of the guys that I worked with also came from the TV industry, selling shit over, you know, that way, the telemarketing. That's what they called it. No, what'd they call it? It wasn't telemarketing. It was I don't remember what's... Anyway, selling things over TV.
Infomercial.
Infomercial type scene, you know? What's so funny about that is that the demographic that they were selling to was just middle to old age, female, overweight, lonely, impulse buyers.
Yeah.
And they would sell these things to women and with credit cards. Back in the pre-internet era, they were being comforted by the voice of this same infomercial over and over again. They'd buy that shit, and if it was, you know, like the veggie masher,
yeah,
they would buy that.
Yeah,
they'd buy that. But what was funny is that the buyer would always be an untrained female cook, fantasizing about using that in the kitchen, and they would never use it. The market research says they'd buy the shit and they'd never use it.
I knew a lot of people that bought those type of things, and they would
take it out and go, oh, isn't that wonderful? And they'd put it underneath the thing and they would underneath the cupboard and they'd never use it again.
Well, because
that was part of the marketing strategy.
Like you said, I think the whole thing was that everybody wants a gadget that's going to solve all the problems and make their life easier.
It was an emotional sale.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it was.
So you just kind of picture yourself as that person that it's like, oh, I'm going to get that egg boiler doohickey and like, you know, I'm going to boil all the eggs and all my problems will be solved.
Yeah. the same thing that was going on in televangelism.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, it's the same sale.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Well, that's a product just like any other product. Yep. They know their audience.
It's a comforting product. You buy it, you feel better. You don't ever use it, though.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Even though I think people do intend to use it, but then they never do. Never like, get when it gets
it.
There.
They never use it.
Because then when it gets there, you're like, wait, I have to learn how to use this? Fuck
yeah. That. And then it's not as cool as you thought it was.
Right.
And then the end result isn't as nice or impressive. And besides, you're in the house by yourself.
Yeah.
So what? You can cut a radish into something that looks like a rose. Nobody gives a fuck. Remember that tool?
Yeah.
The pedophore making thing and cut a radish into a rose and take a carrot and turn a carrot into a tulip and make all this pretty shit. These are single older women, long divorced, children gone if they ever had them or whatever. Nobody's there in the trailer with them. And in the trailer, okay, double wide or single wide, you know. Nobody's in there with them so they can make all this pretty shit they want. Nobody sees it, so they never use the shit.
Well, nowadays you could do it and then take pictures of it and put it on Instagram.
Now you could, but this is all pre-internet.
So, yeah.
It's a hoarder mentality.
Yeah, it's just kind of like...
Something they buy.
A bunch of crap.
Sad when you think about it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, and honestly, like, most of that, I've never bought any of those products myself, but, like I said, I think the only easy kitchen thing that I ever bought was a bread maker, or somebody gave me a bread, and I used the shit out of that.
Well, some things are practical.
Yeah.
But if you look at Home Shopping Network and all those other fucking things, they were trinkets.
They did one thing.
They did basically one thing, and they sell you four things that all did one thing, but it was all real impractical shit.
It was like something you would never
need.
Need.
Turning radishes into fucking roses.
Yeah, it's like, how often do you have a call for that?
You're right.
I can't think of a single time in my
life. You're a single woman. There's nobody in there. You're a single woman beyond your dating years, and nobody's there to see that shit.
And even if you did have a date come over, they would not give a shit about a radish shaped like a rose. I can guarantee you right there.
And they're like, nah, I don't want to fucking eat in this damn shithole. Rat's nest and everything. Let's go to Denny's. That's where they're
Perkins.
Yeah, let's go down to Perkins.
Get that
Cracker Barrel.
Get that big fat yeast roll.
Yeah.
Do they still have those? I don't even know if Perkins is around anymore. That's just something I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah. Okay. That's too much of a sidetrack. We gotta get back on.
Well, it was kind of related.
It was related.
It was just related to the shortest segment in the whole movie,
I just think it's funny that fucking Home Shopping Network made a whole career out of doing that.
Well, shit, man.
One useless trinket after another, and fucking middle-aged women.
QVC is still around.
Yeah, middle-aged women with fucking credit cards.
And it's like everybody's all...
They don't have the internet, so they just buy the shit.
The best thing... Thank you, David June. I want a carrot that looks like a rose.
Yeah. And carrots look like tulips.
Or I want a tool that turns all the vegetables like into looking like penises. That would be...
Yeah.
I bet some like there's some kind of dirty QVC
out
there.
You make all your vegetarians pretend to be carnivores. Eat that meat, baby.
That's what I mean.
Eat that meat, baby.
That's what you should call it. You should call it Eat That Meat, Baby.
Eat
That's
that meat, baby. I'll send that shit.
I'll make a box.
I'll send that shit to Sophie. Sophie's vegan ass. It's the only meat you're getting right there, baby.
This is cucumber shit.
Yeah, big old cucumber coming at you. Uncircumcised. Oh, hillbilly cucumber.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, what I was going to say is my favorite thing, I think everybody's favorite thing about those, infomercials was I love... how they would have the people on there that didn't know how to do like the most simple everyday tasks. It's like, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been like walking down the street like a normal person and then they have somebody going, what? And then like, look, I even knocked my own glasses off. And it's just kind of like, well, we can solve that problem now. Here's a thing that walks for you because you're a fucking
spaz. The king of all that shit was Life Alert. Falling and I can't get up.
Yeah.
Remember the little
people
fucking
thing? People still remember that shit.
I still remember that shit. They're totally obsolete. Totally, absolutely.
Well, yeah, you don't need that anymore.
No, cell phone.
Back then, that seemed like an okay idea.
Couldn't get to the phone.
Because I'm like, oh, my God, Grandma fell off the fucking roof.
Yeah.
Grandma fell off the roof.
Yeah, Grandma fell off the goddamn roof.
What the fuck's she doing up there?
Yeah. All right,
messing with
the
TV aerial. Call the Hearst. My grandpa used to call it the Hearst.
Yeah, the old people don't ever get that. That's right.
I'm like, there's no T in that word.
Yeah, call the Hearst.
Oh, my God. All right. So, Danny Rolling Ghostface said VHS3 was the worst out of the series. That's what I've heard. That was VHS Viral, right? And I haven't seen that one. And he said 2 was my favorite out of the series. I can't remember if I saw 2 or not. I know I saw 1. But I don't know. I liked this one a lot.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, then the next story was actually... I don't know if I want to say this is my favorite one. This one might have been my favorite one.
The Frankenstein's?
No, the Empty Wake. The one about the woman at the funeral with like okay. I really liked that one. I liked that one because I love shit about like creepy funerals. And I just thought it was really well done, like the way the tension was like, because she's like supposed to be filming a wake. And there's a dude in the coffin and everything, obviously, but, like, nobody shows up, and she's getting, like, really creeped out. And then, like, she keeps thinking she hears, like, noises from inside the coffin.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked the special effects, like, the reveal on this one. Like, I thought that it's not super gory, but I really liked the way the corpse looked.
It was good. The best one, of course, was the foreign one about the damn mad scientist.
That one was the craziest and the goriest. And, yeah, I can see that it's... I mean, that's one. It's hard to say because that one was awesome too.
It was kind of like Frankenstein's Army, real.
It was kind of like that. I think it was Indonesian.
Yeah,
I want to say it was Indonesian, or at least it took place in Jakarta.
They
mentioned it. It was basically like a mad scientist, and he was trying to make. He was kidnapping
cyborgs.
People, and he was making like cyborgs.
Yeah, BattleBot cyborgs.
Yeah, and it's like, and that one was great because it was just like fucking super gory, man.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of shout outs to like Doom 2.
Yeah.
And shout outs like Duke Nukem. So there's a bunch of video game shout outs. Okay. Maybe I should see what that is.
Creepy. Yeah, it's like, let's see what that noise is. But yeah, the thing about it is that. I like that one because one of the cyborgs that the dude created, and you don't see her until the end, but I guess he like puts a camera like into her face or something like that. And so for most of the segment, you're seeing things from her point of view. So it's almost kind of like a first person shooter, like video game. And yeah, they really captured that aesthetic really well, like when he was saying about Doom and everything like that. That's a lot what it looked like. And like I said, it was just over the top gory and super, super fun. She was like heads and arms and shit flying everywhere, people exploding. It was just fucking great. Like, you know, people being...
Guess what that was?
What?
Garage door going up on its own.
Woo!
Yeah.
Are you starting with your poltergeist shit at this house, too?
There's the garage door going up on
I thought weird. It sounded like the garage door.
Yeah. Maybe somebody's got a garage door opener that's similar.
The clicker thing that, maybe. Yeah, that's on the same frequency.
That's the first time that's happened, but we'll just...
Yeah, I didn't think that had happened, like, so far. But yeah, so that, but yeah, that one was called The Subject. Like I was saying that, I was saying while you were gone, was that the reason I think that one kind of came across like a first person shooter is because the cyborg character, like you're seeing things from her point of view, and she has a camera like in her face or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he replaced her head with a camera or something like that. Yeah, so that, yeah, that one was really good. I think it was Indonesian. Yeah, so that was like the only quote unquote foreign. One, and that was the goriest, and then oh, this one was good too. The next one was called Terror, and that was like a group of like militia guys like in Detroit, and they were planning to like blow up. I guess they were supposed to be like Timothy McVeigh type motherfuckers.
Yeah,
and they were planning to blow up this building.
What are you doing?
And I don't want to spoil like what they were gonna use to blow the building up. Because you'll figure it out before the end, but because I figured it out probably like 5 or 10 minutes in, because I was just kind of like, wait, that is that, what's with that guy? Like, you know, there it goes again.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's got to be the same.
Somebody's got to have a clicker around here that's the same as ours.
Yeah.
Because that's like really fucking spooky. It's just to keep hearing the garage door going up and down. Oh my god, but yeah, so yeah, that one was like, it's kind of like, yeah, it was a bunch of militia guys and they were gonna blow up a federal building, and they were all like fundamentalist Christians, I think too, but they all kind of lived out in the fucking this compound, and they like I said, man, I just really don't want to spoil it, but they had like a really interesting explosive that they were gonna use. And you'll find out what it is if you watch it. But that one was also fun, like really, really violent. Lots of people getting like shot in close up. Lots of people exploding. You know, heads being ripped off and stuff like that. So that was also a good one. And I have to say too that the whole
I turned it off.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be somebody around here.
Yeah,
I'll reprogram
probably.
It.
That's yeah. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was gonna say that a lot of it's. A lot of the special effects in this, especially like the real close up like headshots and stuff like that, looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, they really, like I said, they really committed to making everything look like a fucked up like snuff film or something like that for like from 1994. I mean, I think they did a really good job with that. And all the special effects, like a lot of them look really real. I don't even think even in the one with all the cyborgs, that didn't look like CGI. I
no,
mean,
I don't think it was.
Was it? It didn't look like CGI to me. What are you doing?
She's mad at the ghost.
She's just so busy.
Hey.
She's mad at the ghost.
Look, I do that shit and her ears go back. Fuck you.
Yeah, she's still, like, no, I'm busy.
She's still tearing. Don't tear up the books.
She's like...
trying to get my attention, huh?
Yeah.
Did you fuck over Spock? Did you fuck over Mirik Spock?
She did. She knocked him over.
Yeah.
She loves on Spock, though. She goes up to his leg and like, rubs her head.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody's, like, knocks him over. She loves Spock's leg.
So you're going to do it again, huh?
She's like, yeah.
I told you. I said, no. She knows.
And then as soon as Tom got up, she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
She's trying to play.
Oh, little
play
one.
Games, huh?
Yeah. And she goes right back over there. She's incorrigible.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay.
You can't, but I mean, you can't be mad at her. She's too fucking cute.
It's all fun and games to her.
It is. But yeah, so like I said, I can't spoil what the explosive is, but you'll figure it out if you watch it. But yeah, that was also a really good one. So like I said, other than the wraparound, which was okay, and the first one, like the storm drain one about Ratman, which actually had its moments also, all those segments were pretty fucking solid, I thought. I was, like, pretty entertained, you know? And, like I said, I really like that they kind of had a theme throughout the whole thing. And it's, like, all of them were 1994. All of them look like something that you would videotape back then. And I like to, because this is something that happens with a lot of found footage shit, and I think I brought this up before, is that in a lot of found footage movies, you can't, it's hard to suspend your disbelief because after some point you'd be like, look, no motherfucker in their right mind would still be filming this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the problem.
And yeah. And so it's kind of hard because, you know, and even ones I really like, I'd just be like, come on now. Wouldn't have somebody have just been like, fuck this camera. And like, I'm not filming this shit anymore.
It's very artificial and contrived to me.
It is. I mean, it is obviously because they're making a movie. But I like this too, because this, I can't really think of anything in here that took me out of it in the sense that, you know, nobody would be filming this. Like, nobody would have a reason to be filming this. Every single one of them seemed to have a really solid, you know, kind of motivation for somebody to be filming it. You know what I mean? And for somebody to continue filming it. Yeah. So I was never taken out of it like, okay, nobody would be filming in after this point. So, again, props there. Because you got to be real creative in found footage, like why anybody would still be filming this shit, because you would have dropped the camera if the monster was coming to get you. I'm not filming it. it's eating my leg. You know what I mean? What the fuck? Nobody would do that. But yeah, so that, I think that the one with the militia was the last one, and then they do like the closing segment of the wraparound, which I think is called Holy Hell. And they kind of like reveal what all these tapes were and stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, pretty solid. And I'm not a huge fan of found footage, which I think I've mentioned before, even though, you know, I've seen a lot of good ones, but it's not kind of my go-to genre. So I wasn't actually going to, I mean, I was going to watch this, but eventually, but then I thought, wait, I'm kind of in the mood for this. And I liked the first one. I think I liked this one better. I just thought it held together better. I mean, the first one was good, but I don't really remember a lot of the segments from it. But I don't know. I thought this one was like pretty solid. Now I'm going to have to see the third one because everyone says it's bad.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I'll leave that one to you. This isn't really my thing. I don't like found footage that much. And this is about all I can tolerate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like if it gets any worse than that, then I'm not going to fuck with it.
Well,
what
like
the fuck is she doing? This is just an ongoing quest to tear those damn books out of that corner.
And it's just those
just
ones.
Just those. She thinks there's something back there.
I don't know.
Maybe that gecko disappeared back
there. Yeah, see, okay. So the other day, she was like losing her shit in here. And I was like, is this shit haunted? You can tell me. It's like, are you look? Because she kept looking in the closet like really intently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing there, Pook. It's like, what's the matter with
you? There was something there.
There was something there. It was a tiny, tiny baby gecko about that big. He actually like crawled out later, and I was like, aha!
Yeah.
That's what she, because she heard that shit.
Yeah.
And she, or see, she saw him.
Right.
And it's like, once she sees a bug or a lizard or something like that in the house, she does not forget it. She does not let it go. You can, like, because a lot of times a lizard would get in the old house, and she'd be looking right at it and be like, look, look, look. And we'd be like, oh my God. And then Tom would like pick it up and take it outside, like rescue it. And then for the next couple hours, she'd still be like sniffing around that same spot. Where the fuck is it? Where is it?
Yeah, she didn't have this. She didn't have a concept of hands.
Yeah.
The hands pick things up and take
and
them.
And take them away.
She'll still be looking at that same spot. Where'd it go? It vanished.
Yeah, she just keeps like running around with her little tail going like that. Like, where is he? He was right here.
They don't process. They don't process images the same way the human mind does. They don't see shapes that well, and they don't really see colors that well. They just see motion. And my hand coming down, she sees that moving, but the idea that the concept that the hand took the lizard away is kind of, they don't really see it. I don't think they see that part happening. They just go, it vanished. Where is it? You know, and it's not moving. If it's not moving, a lot of times they can't see it.
Yeah.
So they still think it's there, but camouflaged.
Well, and they can probably still smell it, too, because cats have a really good sense of smell, which I think a lot of people don't know. I think everybody's talking about, like, how good dog sense of smell is. I think cat sense of smell is better.
But she'll chase a lizard, then the lizard will stop moving, and she'll continue to look around for it because it stopped moving. She can't see it when it's not moving.
Yeah, which
then
is...
the second it moves, she goes, there it is.
There you are, you motherfucker. Yeah. I couldn't see you. You were standing still.
They process moving things very well, but not things that are still.
I wonder if lizards have figured that out. It's like, I just have to be really still.
Yeah, they do it a lot.
Yeah.
They do it a lot, yeah. I think most predators are like that. They see them. The way their eyes and their brains work, the motion is primary over the shape.
So I guess any animal that's like a prey animal has probably learned over time.
Sometimes
it's just like
freeze. Yeah, and if you're already camouflaged, you can kind of blend in, and a predator will continue moving. Kind of like a movie, The Predator.
Yeah.
Cover yourself with the mud.
Well, because he had heat vision.
Yeah.
Now she's over there sitting by... She's been sitting on top of the toilet. I don't really get what that's about either. And I bought her a new litter box.
Yeah.
And I put it all in there, and she just will not use it. She goes in there and plays in it.
Yeah, but she won't go in the bathroom. Okay, let's go ahead and cut it short, I think.
Yeah, because I'm, like, super sleepy.
Yeah.
And I have to finish watching all those Hammer House of Horror episodes. I think I still have, like, 5 of them left. All right. Well, we can watch some together later, but I was we don't have time to, like, both watch all of them because they're too long. Because I didn't realize it was 13 episodes, and each episode is an hour. So I watched, like, 3 or 4 of them the first night, and then I've been watching them today, but I'm trying to, like, stay awake because I'm, like, still really tired from last night. Wow. It was, like, so sleepy. But we just had to tell you guys about the fucking IHOP. That was so fucking weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
And we were just, like, that we could just walk in. I was like, oh, my God, we could have stole all kind of shit.
There was nothing in there.
There was nothing in there. I wouldn't do that anyway.
It's just food.
I wouldn't do that anyway. But I said, how funny would it be if you just... If the cops came and you're just in there, like, making some pancakes or something. It's like, what? No one was here. What do you expect me to do? Make my own food? Fuck. All right. So, anyway, we will be back tomorrow night. And remember, tomorrow night is the main show now. And I'm very excited because finally, I've been wanting to do this show for a long time. And finally, it won in the Patreon poll. We're talking about Mary Shelley and the Haunted Summer. Like, where she got the idea for Frankenstein. That whole situation. Which, if you don't know anything about it, it may not sound that interesting, but it's really interesting. So interesting that they made a couple movies about it. One of which was directed by Ken Russell, actually. And it's called Gothic. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night. So that should be a fun one. So thanks for dropping by and hanging out with us this afternoon. It feels like Sunday, I guess because we went out last night. I keep forgetting it's Tuesday. It's so weird. But yeah, so... We're going to do the show tomorrow night at 5 p.m., so come on by and talk about Frankenstein and shit with us. So we'll see you guys then. Bye.